Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much, Bella. And I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's program, which is being done in partnership with NeedyMeds and Cancer Care. And you'll be hearing more about NeedyMeds and what a wonderful resource this is for everyone. And today's program is supported by Novartis Oncology, and I really want to thank them for their support of this program. Now, I just wanted to let you know that we have over 150 participants on this call today, and you come from all over the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities. And we also have a number of international participants from Australia, Colombia, India, and the United Kingdom. So it is a global call as well, and it's a credit to each of you that you're spending the next hour with us. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our first speaker, Dr. Michael Wong. And Dr. Wong is Physician-in-Chief, Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. And Dr. Wong will be presenting an overview of cancer treatments, including clinical trials on adherence, definition of adherence, taking your pills on schedule, and its important role in managing cancer. It is my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Wong.
Thank you very much, Dr. Messner. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to spend this time with you to speak about a very important topic as it directly impacts the quality of life in our patients and the outcomes on cancer treatment. And as well, it's also a privilege to serve as the sort of to set the setting for my colleagues, Dr. Thompson and Palos, and Roe, who will follow me afterwards. Let's talk about the practical definition of what we're talking about, and really, the practical definition is to take the right medication at the right dose at the right time. And that's a real foundation of all that we're talking about. Now, why is that important? Let me pull the curtains back a little bit and share with you what happens behind the scenes. When we actually prescribe a medication, there's been a tremendous amount of work and information that's already been done to determine how the pills get into your body, how it gets into your bloodstream, how it gets to the organ, how it gets and attacks the cancer. And the words for these, the definition of these things have to do with things like pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics, big four-syllable words. But what they really mean is how the drug get in, how long they stay, and how long they're effective for. Those are very important things. So therefore, in order to do that, we measure things like half-life, how long something stays in your body. Now, what does that mean to my patient? It means that if you take your pills on time, as prescribed, and usually I tell them to take them at the same time every day, you build up in your blood a steady amount of the medication, and that's what you want. You basically want a steady amount of medication in your body so it can be doing its work, attacking the cancer, the disease at all times. It also is important for toxicity management. What do I mean by that? Because we know as prescribers how long things stay in your body. If you have any sort of side effect, we can make rational suggestions. Here's an example. In my area of advanced skin cancers, there are some medicines we're taking by mouth. And sometimes patients call me and say, listen, I'm having this side effect, and it's really sort of impacting me. And one of the things I do often is to just say, why don't you hold the medications over the weekend, the 2 days or the weekend? And the reason why that's important is because I know that the half-life of the medication is measured in a certain number of hours. and I can calculate when the medicine disappears from your blood, and therefore also have a pretty good idea when the side effects should go away. And that's one way I manage this, because if I tell you to hold it and the symptoms persist, then I know it's probably not because of the medication. I know that I have to look for something else, or dig a little deeper, or that something else is at play. That's very important, because that means to me that we do not sort of classify this medication as one that's harmful to you, the patient. So that's an example where knowing the physician knowing when you took the drug, how much you took, is very, very important. So scheduling dose, very important. Again, the foundational idea is right medication at the right dose at the right time, right? There are also other things that play as well. We know that human beings have a thing called circadian rhythm. It means that our natural physical and physiologic state varies according to the time of day. And so therefore taking medications in the evening may be different than taking it in the morning. And there are some medications in which that is very important. And so again, speaks to taking it at the right time of day. And I know that the speakers after me will say a few words about how best to organize your life and organize the world of your world so that you can do that. Now, I'll share a very not so funny story with you. In my family, we have one physician, one nurse, and two pharmacists. And when my father was ill, I have to embarrassingly tell you that we couldn't get the pills right, despite that. So I know that a lot goes into that, and that's why paying attention and putting structure in place is helpful to you. And so the speakers that follow me will spend more time on that. And it also speak about modern technology that can help you. I do want to say one or two things about how you organize things that may not be so obvious. Well, some of these pills are very sensitive to light or moisture. In one of the clinical studies I was running, the medications came in these really tough blister pack. I mean, you had to be like, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or when he was Mr. Universe, to open up the packet. And some of my patients' family members were helpful by opening it up and putting it to pill boxes, which unfortunately exposed the medication to moisture and light and made it sort of less stable. So that's something to think about. And always, when you have these sort of difficult to open packages, make sure you touch base with your healthcare providers so they know what you're doing. So communication is the foundation of what we're talking about. Lastly, it's not just pills, I have to say. Many of the newer medications are injectables, and we only have to think about, you know, the GLP-1s, you know, the Mounjaros, the weight loss or diabetes medications that come in sort of self-injection packets. That's also very important, and it adds an extra layer of complexity. Your physicians and your team will tell you how to self-inject, but there's a reason why, for instance, we always say do it in the abdominal fat around the belly button. And the reason for that is that the absorption of these medications are very dependent on blood flow. So if you put it into your arm and then you go out and start working out or doing chin-ups or push-ups, what happens is that the increased blood flow will carry away more blood from the injection site in your arm and then changes the levels in your blood consequently. Less so in the midline. So again, for these newer medications, which are not just pills, the injectables, being clear with your healthcare provider as to how do you want you to do it, and where do you want you to do it is very, very important. This really comes down to another topic, which will be discussed later on here in the program, which is how to communicate with your team. And if you've taken away one of the messages I have, which is, you know, not only do you take your medications on time, but it's good to document so. Remember I told you about the trouble we had with my own father? Part of it is that we weren't documenting, so left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing and who was doing what. And so one of the best practices we've been using on our clinical trials patients is we actually give them a paper calendar. It's as simple as that, and you put a little X when you've done taking your medication. It could be as simple as that. In addition, of course, to all the newfangled things that we could do with apps on our phone and so on and so forth, which you'll hear about later on. And lastly, one of the things that's very important is that your home team should know what you're taking. And this includes things that are maybe over-the-counter, not prescription, so on and so forth. And as part of what I learned in my own personal life, looking after my father, sometimes it's as simple as just bring the bag of pills or bring the pill bottles with you. That way there is no doubt as to what you're taking, and it behooves us to even pronounce some of the things, the names of the drugs that we're taking. So in an immigrant family of myself, it's a virtual impossibility sometimes to get it right. So bring the pill bottles or bring the prescription itself. Sometimes you have a prescription, the prescription is printed on paper when you go to a pharmacy to pick it up. So I'll end there by saying what I said in the beginning. All right. The right medication at the right dose at the right time. Thank you very much. And once again, my honor and pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Wong. That was just a stellar presentation. And since you are the first speaker, you really set a wonderful tone for today's program and also shared some of the challenges that family members have in terms of medication. So I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. So thank you so much. And our next speaker is Dr. Lisa Thompson, and Dr. Thompson is a pharmacist. She's Oncology Pharmacy Program Director, Banner Pharmacy Services, Banner Health. And Dr. Thompson will be addressing barriers to taking your pills, planning ahead, lead time in refilling prescriptions, weekends, travel, and holidays, and communicating with the healthcare team about adherence with reminders from your pharmacy and pharmacist. It is my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Thompson.
Thank you so much for inviting me to speak today. As mentioned, I'm a pharmacist, and I have specialized in oncology, so did extra training just like our physician counterparts, to really understand and know these very unique oncology medications. So I hope that by the end of my discussion today that I'll help you better understand the role of the pharmacist in your healthcare journey as it relates to cancer treatment. We'll be talking about how to take your pills on time. And first, we're going to start off with some of those barriers to taking your medications on time. So the first thing that we want to kind of look at, what might those barriers be? Identify those reasons for potential non-adherence and not taking the medication. So are you forgetting to take the medications because you have a busy schedule, for example? Do you work, or do you have, family members that are working around you that disrupts your schedule? Or maybe you're a caregiver for others and their schedule interferes with your schedule. Maybe you're responsible for children or elderly parents, and so you need to coordinate taking your medications around when you're going to be home, or, as previously mentioned, making sure you have those medications and those pills with you. You need to kind of plan ahead. Are you always the one who does, maybe for a child, school drop-off or pickup, making sure that, if we know school ends at 3:00, that's probably not the right time to be taking your medication. So make sure it's before or after and giving yourself a window to get there. Do you work a night shift? That might impact either when you take your medications, your ability to take your medications, whether you're awake or sleeping. Sometimes too, depending on when you time your medication, if it's a medication before bedtime, when do you typically fall asleep? Do you eat and take a nap on the couch and then end up moving over to your bed a little bit later? So trying to find some consistency in when you're taking that medication. Also, how are you organizing those medications? Is it confusing. Should we be using a pillbox to help bring organization and reduce that as a barrier? Sometimes the cost of the medication might result in somebody wanting to skip doses to help save money. We definitely don't recommend that. Make sure you're talking with your healthcare team to ensure that we are finding cost-effective medications for you to utilize. How many times a day are you supposed to be taking that medication? A medication that is only taken once a day, maybe that's easier to remember, maybe it's harder. A medication that needs to be taken 3 or 4 times a day can be hard to fit in. So, think about how that works with your schedule and then discuss with your provider what that looks like for you. Another thing to consider is how many pills are you taking at a time? Are they big pills and that makes it hard for you to swallow them or take them? Do you need to take 5 pills at a time? And so that's just kind of overwhelming. Think through these things and talk with your team about them. Another thing that you might not notice right away up front, but might actually happen over time, is the side effects. Are you experiencing side effects that make you not want to take the medication? Or is there a side effect that makes it hard for you to take the medication? Like, for example, is it causing some type of, irritation to your throat, and so it makes it hard to swallow the pill? As Dr. Wong mentioned, some of our medications now are more like injectables. Is it an injectable and you have pain at the injection site where you're giving that medication? Other things to consider as well is, do you take that medication with or without food? Are you having a hard time eating or hard time remembering that you can't take it, that you need to take it on an empty stomach? So all things to consider. So make sure you're really, looking through all these things, evaluating these things, and really discussing with your healthcare team. We want to find solutions for you. We want you to be successful. That's how we will have the best outcomes. So ensure that you are communicating any of these types of barriers that you might identify. And you might not have thought of those up front. So hopefully maybe I brought to your attention some things that you might want to consider as you're going through your treatment. And just emphasizing, don't be afraid to ask for help, ask questions. We want to help you be successful. Don't keep secrets from your medical team. The only way we can help you is by knowing. So the next portion I'm going to talk about is planning ahead. Lead time and refilling prescriptions, weekends, travel, holidays, all those good things. Because we still want you to be able, to have a life, do fun things, get out there and enjoy your time. So things to take into consideration is you can typically refill a prescription about 7 days in advance of when you last filled it, so to speak. So if it's a 30-day or 28-day, prescription, then you can usually fill that about a week early, essentially. And same things typically. Oftentimes we'll do prescriptions as a 30-day supply or a 90-day supply. Sometimes we're able to fill things a little bit differently as well, but it might mean that that prescription needs to be written differently. So again, if you know you have a big trip coming up, make sure you're communicating that so we can ensure that the pharmacy gets the right prescription from your provider team to ensure that we get you that right quantity of medication. Another thing to think about too, if you're traveling, is sometimes if it's a bigger chain that you fill your prescription with, you might be able to transfer it from one location to another so that you can refill that prescription while you're traveling. If that's something you're considering, make sure you talk with your pharmacy to ensure that that is something that is doable. Also, know when you are getting low and how many days of medication you have left. So I know with some of the medications that I take, I'll kind of notice I have, several in that bottle, and then as it starts to feel a little bit lighter or shake a little bit louder with just a few left in them, I'll take kind of note of the fact that, okay, how many do I really have in here, and when am I going to be getting my next refill to make sure I don't run out? Try to keep an eye on that if you can. And then the other thing is checking how many refills you might have as well. So with that, you want to look at if you have refills available. If you do not have any refills available, we need to make sure we're communicating with the healthcare team to ensure that you are getting refills in a timely fashion. So that needs even a little bit more buffer time as well. So like I said, kind of early on with this as well, just remember that communication is key with your team. And then that brings me to the last part, is how to communicate with your healthcare team. So ask your provider what is the best forum for them for communication. Do you have a patient portal that they want you to use? Do they prefer phone calls? Do you have, you know, frequently scheduled appointments where they want things to be addressed? So make sure you're taking note of how they want communication to be sent in. Sometimes for prescription refills, they want that sent from the pharmacy. So just taking note of some of those things and being upfront, asking them, how is the best way for me to get a hold of you? What is the best way for me to ensure that I get my prescriptions refilled when I need them? And the other thing I always encourage is writing down your questions and bring those to your appointment. You can always, you know, if you do have a patient portal, feel free to send those in and bring those questions to their attention right away. If it's something that's not as urgent or you want to speak face-to-face with the physician about, make sure you write it down so you don't forget. We all have busy lives and can oftentimes forget things, so jot those down so you don't forget. And make sure you tell your team if you did miss a dose. You know, being honest and transparent is important so we can make sure that you are getting the right dosing and that we adjust doses or make changes based on that feedback. So those are definitely some of the things to take into consideration with regards to, you know, barriers, planning ahead, and communicating with your team. So I really enjoyed being able to present that information with you today. Hopefully you learned a little bit from this, and I will be around at the end for the Q&A as well. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Thompson. That was really an excellent presentation, very stellar, and very detail-oriented so people could understand about, you know, providing lead time for refilling prescriptions, weekends, travel, holidays. You really covered a lot of important issues, and I know that there will be questions for you during the Q&A. Thank you so much. Our next speaker is Dr. Guadalupe Palos, and Dr. Palos is a doctor of public health, a master's in social work, and an RN. She's former clinical protocol administration manager, Office of Cancer Survivorship, the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, author and researcher in healthcare disparities, caregiving, and survivorship. And Dr. Palos will be addressing practical tips to overcome barriers to taking your pills, including family, partners, and others, computer, tablet, and phone reminders, including emails, texts, and apps, and guidelines to prepare for telehealth, telemedicine appointments, including technology, prepared list of questions, and discussion of open notes. It is my great pleasure to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Palos.
Well, thank you, Dr. Messner, for the invitation to join my distinguished colleagues in today's panel. As Dr. Wong discussed, patients and their families face challenges in following medication schedules. These difficulties can be expected when dealing with a complex disease such as cancer. This is a disease that requires different types of medication with different routes of administration, and a disease that often calls for changes in medications over the course of a patient's cancer experience. The challenges of following a schedule significantly increases when patients include other medications to manage chronic conditions such as hypertension or diabetes. It is understandable that medication adherence can become a chaotic, stressful, or frustrating experience. And before I go any further, I'd like to make sure we're all on the same page as to the meaning of adherence. Here, it applies to the extent to which a person's behavior, that is, taking medication in this one, corresponds with the agreed recommendations from a healthcare provider. That comes from the World Health Organization. So it means a lot to pay attention to this definition because it tells you it's all about behavior. And behavior is very tricky sometimes. So if we don't do adherence or we feel that we can't follow medication adherence, it's not really anyone's fault. It's just something that we have to learn the techniques for keeping track of our medication and listening to other folks about sharing tips. And of course, always speaking with your healthcare team. Earlier, Dr. Thompson did a wonderful job on identifying the barriers to taking medication. I'd like to talk real brief about two others that may are often overlooked. and these include the patient's health literacy understanding or their reading ability and cultural or religious beliefs towards medication and their use. You know, the patient's readability and health literacy, we take it for granted that everyone can read well nowadays and that everyone understands what, you know, three times a day really means. So that is important to be sure and cover those type of characteristics that a patient may have because it can significantly influence the efforts to medication adherence. There's also cultural and religious beliefs that people have about medications that can affect their ability to take the medications the way they want to. Remember, beliefs like this are based on the patient's own personal experience or what they learn from family members or others. So it's important, again, to ask questions about these areas when planning patient education about medication. That's for our healthcare providers. And for our caregivers and patients, it's important to bring those up. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Because you, if you know in your heart, or in your family, you've seen perhaps this type of behavior where they don't take the medication, perhaps it's because they're afraid of opioid dependency or the nasty side effects somebody had or whatever, be sure and bring these thoughts that you have about hesitating to take your medication. So what tools are available to optimize adherence to medication schedules? Fortunately, there are several tools to support adherence. For example, there are reminder systems, something as simple as placing the medication in a visible place. If it's a morning medication, put it near your toothbrush or your coffee cup. You can associate it with the meals or other regular activities, or you can even use the stickies, magnets, or the calendar that Dr. Wong referred to. There are also telephone or text reminders from family and friends to help patients remember to take their medicine. There are many alarm devices that are available. These devices include watches, vibrating alarm watches, programmable voice reminders, and smartphones that can be used to deliver the reminders. Now, if we don't have the time, I wish I did, but we don't have the time to talk about each one. Perhaps a future teleconference can focus only on these tools so you can get more information on what they do and how to access them. So just as we have seen adherences in reminder systems, there have also been advances in accessing patients' medical records. Patients want easier access to personal health information. Advances like the internet and secure patient portals now make this possible, thank goodness. To date, patients' use of clinicians' notes is somewhat limited because many patients haven't been introduced to it or they don't really see the value of it. But patients' use can be improved significantly when the providers encourage the use of electronic health records, or I'm going to refer to them as EHRs. So if you're hesitant or you don't familiar or you're a bit intimidated by the technology that goes into that, ask your healthcare team about it. And then if you have someone at home that's a techie person, get them to sit down with you and kind of walk you through what all of this is, an electronic medical record is all about. Now, the benefit of EHR, it allows patients and providers to share information through open notes. Now, the concept of open notes has been in use for a while. For instance, your providers may have provided a written summary of your visit. It can contain like the history, it can contain the findings, some physical exam, and it also includes blood pressure and weight. An open note typically just is a summary of information provided by the patient and written down by the provider. These notes will vary by the person or the provider who writes them or dictates them, the type of visit, and the setting. Some of the notes will be brief while others provide comprehensive details about the visit. Electronic medical record systems such as MyChart contain these notes from your visits. It's important to register for an account to access your medical records from every healthcare facility from which your loved one receives care. Now, once an account is obtained, it's critical to learn how to use the system to access your own notes or medical records. Ask your provider if there are videos or written instructions to learn how to use the system. Now, the use of open notes is a huge benefit to patients. They increase a patient's trust and confidence in their treatment plan because they are better informed about their health status, about their medication side effects, and all the other things that go along with the cancer experience. A word of caution with the use of notes, you may wish to review them on your own. If you get them, say, on the weekend or before your doctor's visit, you know, or after the doctor's visit, here's the challenge to you. Try not to read those notes unless you have your provider with you. It gets scary when you read some of those. We tend to misinterpret some of the findings or what we're reading. So it's good to have someone that knows what they're talking about, and it would be usually your provider because they know your history, so they can interpret more or less what is going on in that summary. So nowadays, patients may prefer healthcare visits in a telehealth manner. So here's a few tips. Here's a few tips to prepare for a telehealth appointment. Number one, be sure to check your patient portal every few days to be alert for changes in schedules or other activities. On the day of your appointment, check your internet connection before your visit begins. It's helpful to decide ahead of time what device you're going to use. Is it going to be the computer, the laptop, the smartphone, or the table? You may want to ask your physician's office about any technology that may need to be set up. This can include downloading an app, creating that new account we talked about, and also ask for a contact number to use in case there's a problem during the televisit. To make your appointment more productive, choose a quiet, private place so you can hear your physician and they in turn can hear you. It's also important to know that insurance companies consider telemedicine visits comparable to an in-person visit and may require copays and payments. So to avoid any surprises, you may want to contact your insurance companies ahead of your visit. And most important, remember to write down your questions ahead of time. The stress of being on an electronic device, trying to listen to everything the provider is saying, and then trying to remember your questions can be overwhelming. So if you write them down, they'll be there and you won't forget them. So the responsibilities now is what I'd like to speak about. The responsibilities about the patients and family roles in being a team member for a medication plan. For family caregivers, managing medications for loved ones is one of the most critical responsibilities. Studies show that proper medication management can triple the likelihood of positive health outcomes for your loved one. This responsibility extends beyond simply giving the medicine. It involves understanding the prescriptions, monitoring the effects, and coordinating with your healthcare team to ensure optimal care. Effective medication management requires attention to detail, organization, and clear communication with all healthcare team members. Encouraging patients and their families to ask questions is an important responsibility for all members of the team. So patients may wonder, what type of questions should I be asking? So I would like to let folks know, our callers know, that MediMeds, Ms. Rowe, who will be our next speaker, has a great list of questions that you can ask and also has a tip sheet on how to manage your medication. They're printable, but they're also on the website, so I really would recommend looking over these questions. They're easy to understand, and there's not a hundred of them. There's a few of them that are very important. But for today, what we're going to do is just talk about a few of the suggestions. I'm going to give a few suggestions. Be sure and ask if you can review the recommended dosage, schedule, and duration for each medication. Ask what you should do if you miss a dose. Then also ask what happens with interactions. Does this medication cause interactions with my regular meds? You can ask if I will continue to take my vitamins or other supplements, who will take time to explain the meds, their side effects, and how to take them. This is really important because you want to know which member of the healthcare team is the one that's going to take the time to explain all these medications to you. And most important, who can I call for refills or questions? We know from literature that at least 50% of patients don't take medications as prescribed. So again, family caregivers play a vital role in managing medications, which greatly increases the chances, again, of positive health outcomes. And this is what this is all about, right, folks? We want to make sure our loved one has good health outcomes in fighting this disease. So there are many options. Remember that. I wish we had more time to go over them. It can be as simple as making a handwritten chart of all your medications to the more sophisticated methods mentioned. Patients may want to look at some options before deciding on which one can help them. And talk to your healthcare team about which options may be best to fit your conditions and your lifestyle. So thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts with you. This concludes my remarks.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Palos. That was a wonderful presentation, chock full of information for our participants. So thank you so much. Thank you. And our next speaker is Ms. Ruth Rao, and Ms. Rao is President, Needy Meds, and she'll be discussing Needy Meds free programs and services, and she'll be giving you information about how to contact Needy Meds and what they provide. It is my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Ms. Rao.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome, and thank you to the other speakers for sharing such helpful information. And Dr. Palos, thank you for sharing about our printable resources. Needy Meds is a national nonprofit. We're dedicated to helping people find access to programs that make medication and healthcare more affordable. Everything we offer is free to use, confidential, and unbiased. We don't sell anything, and we don't require insurance. We don't promote one drug company over the other. For people affected by cancer, our help generally falls into five main categories. First is help with cancer medications. Many cancer drugs are expensive, even with insurance. We maintain the most comprehensive database of pharmaceutical company patient assistance programs, copay cards, independent foundations, all that help cover the cost of cancer medications. These programs can be difficult to find or confusing to navigate. We bring them all together in one place. Second, prescription discounts. Our free-to-use Needy Meds drug discount card can help lower the cost of prescriptions at pharmacies nationwide. It can be used by patients or caregivers, and it's especially helpful for medications that aren't covered by insurance. You can use them for generics as well, which will sometimes get it below your insurance cost. Third would be diagnosis-based assistance. We connect people to nonprofit organizations that focus specifically on cancer. These groups may help offer with treatment costs, transportation to appointments, lodging, utilities, food, or other day-to-day expenses that often come with cancer diagnoses. Fourth, healthcare and insurance support. We provide information about low-cost clinics, coverage options, and programs that help people access care when insurance is limited or changing. And finally, we offer real human support. If all of this feels overwhelming, and it often does, our trained staff can help guide patients and caregivers to resources that fit their specific situation. At Needy Meds, our goal is simple, to reduce financial stress so patients and caregivers can focus on care, healing, and time together. You're not alone. Help exists, and Needy Meds is here to help you find it. You can reach us at needymeds.org, or you can always call our helpline at 1-800-503-6897. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. This is a wonderful resource for everyone on today's program, all of our programs, actually. And thank you so much for sharing this information with us. And I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A as well. And I'm Carolyn Mester. I'm Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. And I'm just going to say a few words about Cancer Care's free programs and services. We offer a helpline, 1-800-813-4673, where people can call and speak with one of our staff about questions or concerns that they may have. We offer online support groups for many different types of people and needs. We also offer practical and financial assistance. And to get a sense of all the services we offer, you can visit our website at www.cancercare.org. And I think most importantly, we want you to know that you're not alone, that you have Needy Meds and Cancer Care and so many resources available to you to help you navigate. And now we're going to move on to the Q&A. And I'm going to ask Bella to explain to you how to queue up and ask a question. Bella?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will take questions from the web only. You may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
Oh, here's a good question, and this would be a good question for Dr. Thompson. What should I do if my pharmacy is not able to mail my medication on time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a real thing to focus on there is, trying to give enough lead time so that they can get it to you on time. So, asking about how long does it take to, mail the medication, and also just kind of having awareness to that. Is it something, sometimes they can expedite the shipping on it so that you get it sooner. Sometimes they can't. So it'd be good to know kind of what your pharmacy's practices are around that to try to get them out as early as possible. It probably is not preferential. I mean, sometimes you can get, if like a local pharmacy or something might carry that type of medication, depending on what it is, you might be able to pay an out-of-pocket cost for the medication. However, so many of our cancer medications are pretty pricey that you might not want or be able to do that. If it's more of a supportive care type pill, like for nausea or something like that, it might be possible to get a couple of those pills locally while you're waiting for the mail to come. But I think, it's really just important to try to communicate as soon as possible to prevent those delays. And if there is kind of a gap or a time without medication, again, just making sure that you're communicating with your care team.
And thank you so much. And a question for Dr. Wong. I feel like my dad is getting forgetful. I have tried different pill boxes, and I call him twice a day to take the medicines, but he gets upset when I call him so much. He says I'm treating him like a child. What can I do?
I'm only laughing because it's a little bit like our own personal story, and it speaks to two things, right? One is the actual, act of getting the pills right, but the other one, more difficult, more involved, is at some point the script flips where they used to be our caregivers and now it's the other way around, and at some point that happens to all of us, and you're negotiating the difficult waters of trying to make that happen. And I salute you. I think the only thing I can say is every family had its own details and intricacies about how that has to happen. And it speaks to a relationship that is as old as humankind. Now, having said that, there are various little devices. I have to tell you, especially with, I have a mother that's 93, and the other day we were trying to do something on the iPad, and at some point, my spouse had to come in the room and says, Michael, you are yelling at your mother, and because I realized she didn't know where the camera was on the iPad after all these years, and so technology could be hard for these people. So my father went to good old calendar and paper with a big fat X on it if you took it. And it could be as simple as that. You just have to find the answer that works. You've heard about all kinds of possibilities, including electronic apps. People have watches that beep a certain time and so on and so forth. You just have to find a one that works, and sometimes not to overcomplicate things. And I think that's very important as people, become less, less mentally capable in your older years. But for the grace of God, I go. So that's the best I can tell you. But it is a very, very important thing that you mentioned.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This one I'd like to give to Ms. Rowe. Can you discuss alternative options to cover medication costs? My insurance copay is still too high. Should I look into manufacturer coupons?
Thank you so much. So that is a great place to start. You can search on needymeds.org, type in the name of the medication, and we'll bring up any options that are available, which includes manufacturer's coupons. There's also sometimes help through the PAN Foundation as well as HealthWell. Those are both companies that will help cover a copay for medication. It really just depends on the medication type and your specific diagnosis. But if you check .org, just stick your medication name right in there on the homepage. That information will come right up for you.
Thank you so much. Question to Dr. Wuhan. Would anyone else like to share an anecdote example of when a patient or person they know struggled with medication adherence and what helped them specifically? I appreciated Dr. Wong's real-life example. Thank you.
Well, I think this is an open question, but this is not the only thing that's happening. In my own personal practice, many of the diseases I treat use pills, for example. And I think the one I really want to emphasize is side effect of pills. And that's very important because as your loved ones takes these medications, right, they may suffer symptoms that are difficult to understand. A specific example are the use of what we call BRAF inhibitors in melanoma. And it's important to know that if you use these BRAF inhibitors, and the people who I don't know what it is, there's multiple different types, but one of the class issues, one of the side effects across all this class of medications is the development of fevers. And these can be very significant fevers, shaking, chills, frighteningly so. I had one elderly patient dislocate his shoulder because he was shaking so bad from the fevers. And these are very distressing. And a couple of things about it, and to use that as a prototypical example. Number one is always be sure that you have a good understanding what the expectations are. So I tell my patients, I expect the following things might happen, and if they do, here's what you should do. And it alleviates some of the distress, because to be knowledgeable is to be armed, and you're ready armed with knowledge, right? And you're less distressed by it. The example is that when you leave many of the oncologist's office, you get a little sheet of what to do, and sometimes they say, if you have a fever, go to emergency department. It's true. If you have a fever, go to emergency department, except if you're taking Dr. Wong's BRAF inhibitors, in which that is an expectation. Now, I spoke earlier on about dosing and handling side effects. When the patient calls up with the distressing symptoms like the fevers, I will say something like, how much are you taking, when are you taking it, and let's hold it for, 2 days, 48 hours. So on and so forth. And if in 48 hours you still have those symptoms, in this case it's fever, then you know what? That fever may be something else. And that's why having a set schedule and tracking when you're taking it makes so much sense. So that's it. That's the important message I really want to emphasize, because like I said to my patients yesterday, there's no such thing as a medication without side effects, right? And so you've got to be ready. So I'll stop there and let any one of my colleagues chime in as they wish.
Would anyone else like to add? So we have another question, and this one is for Dr. Thompson. Some of my pills are so large and hard to take. Can I crush my pills or have someone cut it for me?
That's a great question. So you definitely should ask your pharmacist about that specific medication. Some medications can be crushed and some cannot. It oftentimes depends if it's a longer acting formulation that is released in your body over time, or if it's more of a shorter acting type medication. So that's definitely information that your clinic team or your pharmacist should be able to answer for you. Like I said, some can be crushed and some can't. And then depending on if it's a chemotherapy type medication, there might be special precautions that need to come into play if you are crushing it, or they may not want you to crush the medication. So it's definitely very medication specific. So just ensure that you ask and get the right answer. And like I said, some can and some can't, but there definitely are ways to work with that if you are having challenges swallowing it. And some medications might even come in a liquid formulation or a different type of formulation to help with the ease of taking it. Great question.
Excellent. Thank you. And now I'm going to ask each of the speakers to provide a takeaway for each of you. Just a minute takeaway of what you'd like people to take away from today's program. So I'm going to start with Dr. Thompson, then Ms. Rao. So we'll start with Dr. Wong.
So two things, right? The right medication at the right dose at the right time, and communicate. That's my take home.
Excellent. Okay. And Dr. Thompson?
Thank you, yes. So mine is somewhat similar along those lines, but for the takeaways from my portion, I would say is, you know, identifying those barriers to why you may be having challenges taking your medication. And then I am on that same line of communication, right? Communication with your healthcare team, communication with your pharmacy to ensure that you have those medications on time for you to be taking. Thank you.
And Ms. Rowe?
Thank you. So I want everyone to take away the fact that if you can't afford your medication, whether it's a cancer med or anything else you're taking, there is help out there. You just need to know where to find it, where to look. Check out the website. We can help you find what you're looking for.
And I just want to let everybody know that we will be sending you a SurveyMonkey evaluation, and in that evaluation is an evaluation of the program, but also we'll be sending all of the telephone numbers, websites, anything we sent during the program, you're going to be getting that in the SurveyMonkey. So it's both an evaluation of the program, but it's also you'll be getting all the numbers and how to contact all the different organizations that spoke or anyone who gave information like that. So I want to thank all of our speakers today. They were superb, really outstanding. I want to thank all of the participants for asking such great questions. Unfortunately, we couldn't get to everyone's question. We got to quite a few of your questions, however. And I would just like to say that in all the programs, we've noticed that a lot of you have no difficulty reaching your healthcare team during the day, but weekends, evenings, and holidays seem to be challenged. So be sure you ask your healthcare team how you can reach them weekends, holidays, and any other time that it's difficult to reach them. Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.